It's Thursday, and perhaps thanks to this climate change conspiracy, I don't know what it is, but it is hot and steamy and yucky in London. But guess what, Jules? It doesn't matter, because the Champions League is back. Yes. The proper Champions League, quarterfinals, knockouts, mano a mano. We're going to get into all that. We're going to get into Paris Saint-Germain. We're going to get Stuart Robson in. Oh, look at that smiley face. We're going to get Robbo in to give us his little tactical breakdown nuggets for that big game between Barcelona and Bayern on Friday. And, of course, we're going to have quick hits. Strap yourself in.
Let's go.
Right. Last night, the fairy tale came to an end. The clock ticked midnight, and Cinderella had to leave the ball. All metaphors that I'm using in my column on Atalanta. But yeah, heartbreak, yeah? You can understand the rest of the world is heartbroken, yeah?
Of course. And it was this was one of the stories, if not the story, of the competition so far. Atalanta with one of the most entertaining style of football, scoring loads of goals. And then on the back of what happened in Bergamo for the pandemic and how hard the city was hit and the region was hit, they gave people a bit of joy through the football, and I think it would have been great for them to go through. It didn't happen in the most cruel way, and for them to concede two goals in the space of 149 seconds in added time was just, as you said, heartbroken. And PSG were used to be on the receiving end of that, and now they were the heartbreaker, and Atalanta the ones with their heart broke. But
yeah, I want to get into PSG, because I think there was a lot of Schadenfreude ready to develop among a lot of people. But before we get there, I want to say a few words on Atalanta. I am writing a column for them for the website as well. But I think they leave behind a pretty big legacy. I don't think this is a one-hit wonder. This is a sign of what you can do if you are at a mid-sized club, which they are, in a wealthy city, in a wealthy region. And, you know, this isn't casual, right? So they did something which a lot of Italian clubs seem to be unable to do, which is they bought their stadium from the local municipality, and then they started rebuilding it. It's going to, I think, fully reopen next year. They've always had a tremendous youth academy. They hired a guy like Gasperini. They let him do his thing. And again, not the biggest Gasperini fan in the past, but I can only tip my hat to him. Yep. This is the third time in 4 years that they finish in the top four in Serie A. Consecutive third place finishes. And they showed that you can win in a different way. Gasperini showed that part on the pitch by going out and trying to outscore the opposition and taking gambles. And I think one of the messages that it sends is if you're constantly doing one-on-ones, constantly gambling, you know, they always try to intercept and cut out, and if not, then they foul. The gap between the superstar who makes 10 million and the decent player who makes 1 million really isn't that big if you attempt difficult things. I mean, I think above all, what Atalanta taught us is courage. And I think there are more people who can take a leaf out of that and out of that way of playing.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And they did run out of steam in the second half. Clearly, fitness-wise, they were...
They're physically spent.
Physically, they were. Yeah. Papu Gomez came off injured. So Gasperini made some changes that maybe he could have waited a little bit more, but they were very Italian in the way they played in that second half, defending their leads. They were not very the Atalanta team that they had been all season, probably because physically they could not run as much. You know, Goosen.
Well, the evidence is when they sent on that kid towards the end, you know, the guy had played 1 minute of first team action.
Exactly.
But I think it was also symbolically kind of important, right? Because Atalanta have traditionally always relied on their youth academy, which I think produces more players that actually go on to play in Serie A than, I mean, I think they're always neck and neck with Roma in that regard. But then this team, they only had one academy product, Mattia Caldara, you know, starting in the 11. But apparently they say they have a very good generation coming through. This guy who came on is one of them. Yep. Darroza, I think, is his name, if I recall correctly. I didn't know. I'm like, who is this dude, right? It tells you a lot. The most important game in Atalanta's history, and they send on a kid who's played 1 minute of senior football in the second half.
Yeah, and again, that's what Gasperini does, you know. And I think, as you said, they were very courageous all through the game. They tried everything they could. And I just think there was a time where, especially in that second half, where it was just a bit too much for them. And for 3 minutes, they just came a little bit too short. But you, I think they made their city proud. They made the whole of Italy proud. They made football proud, I think, through the whole campaign. Let's not forget that they lost their first three games in the group stages and then still went through
right.
beat Valencia in style. And then this one was just maybe a little bit too high, that last step. But they will be back for sure.
I want to ask about Paris Saint-Germain because everybody wants them to fail. Right? I mean, let's face it. I mean, I don't want to get all Mourinho on you, but siege mentality-wise, for so many reasons, you know, people love to do that. And I know that, oh, look, they're bottlers. They're going to give up. Oh, Neymar, lightweight, mentally weak, blah, blah, blah. I thought Neymar played really, really well. I know he had some bad finishes, but I think he really tried to make things happen. Mm. I think he busted his rear end. Am I getting a little carried away with this? Does Neymar actually have more intestinal fortitude than a lot of these people who routinely criticize him as a diver and lightweight and his sister's and birthday and the hair and all this stuff?
And I think he proved that yesterday. And I think this is, as we said on the show on Monday, this is the night that he wanted. This is the game that he wanted. He wanted this kind of occasion to own a game of this magnitude, like I wrote on the ESPN website last night, and to make it his own and to offer it to PSG to go to the next stage. And okay, the finishes, he could have scored a hat trick easily, but apart from that, he was just unstoppable. And I think they kept kicking him and fouling him. He made 16 dribbles, which is as many as which is the record owned by Messi back in 08.
Right.
He was just unstoppable. And I think he was the spirit of that team. They were so strong collectively. They never gave up. Neymar never gave up. And he gave an assist and a second assist on the two goals late.
And Thomas Tuchel hobbling around on the sidelines.
Yeah, and promoting as well.
By the way, Leonardo going and speaking to the players in the tunnel at halftime, I thought that was a little bit weird. A little bit undermining, I think, is
it's always the case, though. He's always there.
A Choupo-Moting story is a great one. He became like a figure of fun to many people because he's been relegated many times and stuff. And, you know, he's just an extra body in attack, which you need. But that's sweet. You're happy for him. Neymar gave him the Man of the Man award.
This is Hollywood stuff. This is a script that no one could have, even in their wildest dream, think of before. This is someone who injured his own player, his own teammate, Marco Verratti, which meant that Verratti could not play in that game. He's someone who should have never been there. He's only there because Cavani refused to extend his deal for 2 months to play in the Champions League.
How stupid does he feel now?
Well, exactly. So they thought, okay, well, we've got Choupo here. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. Everybody
loves him. They call him Choupo. They don't call him Eric Maxim.
No, they call
don't
him
ask
Choupo.
Him why he has two first names.
The poor guy got burgled twice in Paris. They stole everything: jewelry, watches, designer bags, everything. Twice, not just once, twice. He preventing his own teammate Christopher Nkunku to score a goal by clearing the ball off the line against Strasbourg last season. I mean, for all the chances he missed, all the clumsiness, everything, he's the guy who sent you to the semi-final of the Champions League for the first time in 25 years. This is incredible. This is just something that you could not have made up.
Well, I'll go further. He's never played in Spain or a French-speaking country. Sorry, in England, a Spanish-speaking country, for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah.
Because you know what Choupo means in Spanish.
Well, yeah.
It means suck, right? I'm going to think somebody who sucks, right?
Yeah. But no, incredible story. And he's only there because Tuchel was his manager at Mainz, and when Tuchel was looking for someone to play up front as a complement in the squad, he went and get Choupo because he was cheap and cheerful. And you know what? Good on him. He deserved that. And by the way, that Stoke team who got relegated in 17-18,
it was all Choupo-Moting's fault.
No. But in that squad, believe it or not, they had a lot of players who went really fine Champions League for previous clubs. Rese, Shaqiri, Choupo-Moting now, Johnson, Crouch, Fletcher, Muniesa, Boyan. Incredible. When you think that they were relegated, when they actually played in Champions League semi-final, finals, won the whole. Incredible.
Kurt Zouma, too.
I think it was probably the manager's fault then that year.
I want to go back to just PSG about this because, again, we talked about this before. Viewed from the outside, it's Hollywood, Ici, c'est Paris, all that stuff. And I got away with it before when I brought it up. I mean, this is something for future shows, but the fact that there's no more PSG, it's just Paris now. Honestly, I watched a commentary on Italian television. They kept calling it Paris throughout.
It's okay. The training ground will not even be at Saint-Germain very soon. So the Saint-Germain will be a bit you know.
Or just take over the branding of the city,
no,
right?
No, it's not that. But, you know, I can see why they wanted to put that forward a bit more. But listen, they've been chasing this for so many years. They've had all those heartbreaks, all the remontadas, the disappointment, players making mistakes, player missing out. The curse was there, managers making mistakes all the time. And now they're there, and I think they deserve it because they played well. Neymar played well. He owned that game. Kylian Mbappe was decisive, and it's good for them. Regardless if they get knocked out by Atletico or Leipzig in the next round, okay. But at least I think psychologically making that step is huge.
If Tuchel could pick his own opponent for the next round, who would he pick? Leipzig or...
It's a good one. I think, you know what? I think Leipzig without Werner is not the same team. But I think the way Atletico play could suit what PSG want to do. So... I don't know.
Yeah, I think he totally picks Atletico because it's just a much better match.
Yes.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Jules, Bayern and Barcelona, obviously the only two teams that have won this competition before.
Indeed.
I think most people would say it is the pick of the round. It's
yes.
Friday night. We could break this down ourselves.
We could indeed. We could.
Or we could turn to a higher power, a man who's been there, a man who's done that, a man who doesn't watch football from the perspective of a journalist or a fan or a player or indeed most ex-pros, a guy who watches it from the perspective of a coach.
I think I know who you're talking about.
That's right. Stuart Robson, welcome on board. Robbo, Messi is the wild card here for Barcelona. I'm not saying anything new to say that he's the guy who produces out of nothing. If you're Bayern, do you prepare something specific for Messi, and what do you need to look out for?
Well, I don't think you change your game plan in terms of you try and still get your fullbacks going forward. But the big problem for Bayern, and that's when they've got to come alive, is when they've got the ball, Bayern Munich, they've got to be aware as soon as it changes hands, they're ready to pick up Messi. Because he just stays in little pockets of space. And it could be, because you don't want Davis dropping deep to mark him, it could be that Alaba is on the half, almost ready to go into that midfield area to go and mark him tightly. Or Goretzka does the opposite. So, he makes himself available. Yes, he's looking at the attacking side of play. But as soon as the ball's changing hands, he's looking at the position of Messi, and he might drop that little bit deep. It might be Thiago. Or Alaba, the other way around, when they're higher up the field, Alaba can come out from his defensive position and go and make contact with Lionel Messi. You don't want a man marking because Messi will take you and break up your shape and then it disrupts what you're trying to do. But you have to make sure you're holding midfield player, your centre-half, have to be aware that when the ball changes hands, you're going to go out there. And I think they also have to make sure that whenever they've got possession, Barcelona, the three players, it'll be Davis, probably Goretzka, and maybe an Alaba, they've got to be aware about when to pass him on. They don't want to go all the way in with him. If Davis goes all the way in field with him, that leaves space for other players to come down there. If Alaba goes all the way into midfield with him, it leaves space in behind. There have to be good communication between those three players to pass him on at the right time. That's what I'd be doing if I was the manager, Hansi Flick, of Bayern Munich.
Robbo, it looks quite likely, according at least to the Spanish media, that they will play in a 4-4-2 formation, that Quique Setién wants more bodies in midfield instead of the usual 4-3-3. And in that case, that Messi would play a bit more centrally with Suarez up front, that Griezmann would be dropped on the bench. Does it change anything if Messi plays out wide on the right, or if he plays a bit more centrally, or because he moves everywhere and because he's got the freedom that he wants, he actually doesn't change anything?
personally, I would, if it was me, I'd be playing Griezmann and Suarez in slightly wider positions through inside right, inside left, playing on the high line of Bayern Munich, because Bayern Munich play the highest offside line in Europe at the moment. And I'd play Messi anywhere in behind me. He can drift out wide. He can drift into the number 10 area. And he's got to be the player that's playing balls in behind, because that's the way, and I think the only way, that Barcelona can win the game, if they play beyond Bayern's pressure, they get it into to Messi, and he's going to be the passer, the provider, rather than the actual runner in behind. Griezmann's got to make runs. Suarez has got to make runs. If they don't play with Griezmann, I think it would be a mistake, because Messi then has only got one player to find with his forward passes, and that will be Suarez. I don't think that will work for them.
Robert, we talked, we've seen Bayern before. They can do it both. They can press high. They can sit a little deeper. We've seen them do both. We certainly expect them to press high, because teams that have pressed Barcelona high in the past have had success, partly because Suarez and Messi aren't exactly spring chickens with their pace, so there isn't the quick out ball over the top. So if you're Barcelona, how do you play through the Bayern press, and how important do players like Frankie de Jong, like Gerard Pique perhaps passing from the back, or Jordi Alba in a wide position become?
Well, we saw the games against Chelsea where Chelsea weren't able to play out from the back. They tried to and got caught on the ball, and Lewandowski nicked it and went and scored, and it was impossible for Chelsea to play out. Barcelona still have to try and play out from the back, or play through their centre-halves into midfield, but they have to be ready to play balls around the corner. One and two touch, not play square passes, not play backward passes. It comes into them, get on the half turn, play little balls around the corner, and hope that that Lionel Messi gets that little bit of space. And almost with his second touch, he's looking to play those runners in. Yes, Suarez hasn't got great pace. Griezmann has got decent pace, and he plays. But as I said, Bayern Munich play a high offside. Sometimes they don't even run back in. They're just reliant on Neuer to step up, and they're trying to play offside off the centre forward. So if those players play a little bit wider and making diagonal runs, it's much harder for them to pick up, and they can get in behind the likes of Kimmich down one side and Davis down the other.
Robbo, thanks so much.
Absolute pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the game.
Cheers. Jules, you wanted the wisdom. Robbo gave us... Yeah. The wisdom, and I invite everybody out there to look for what Robbo said Friday night when you watch the game. See if it plays out that way. See if Robbo's right, and if he's wrong, tell him he's wrong. Anything you want to add? What do you make of this?
Just, I think I agree with everything Robbo just said. Of course, I think Frankie de Jong and Jordi Alba for me would be the two key players for Barcelona. Of course, with Messi,
de Jong had a huge game against Napoli.
He had a huge game, and I think he looked again a bit like the players that we saw at Ajax. And if there's one player with Busquets, but I guess if there's one player in that Barca team that plays a bit deeper than Messi, who can beat that press, who can relieve that pressure that Bayern would put on Barcelona, and then can find space in behind, can create something out of almost of nothing, I think it's Frankie de Jong, especially in that form. And again, Jordi Alba, because he will have a lot of space on that left-hand side if he wants to. And I think attacking fullbacks for Barca would be preventing the two wingers from Bayern, whether it's Gnabry and Coman, or Gnabry and Perisic, or Müller and Gnabry, whoever plays there, would force them to defend as well, which I think they hate doing. So I think tactically it would be a fascinating contest between the two teams.
Yeah, I wonder also if effectively it's going to, given the amount of space that we expect Davies to have, I wonder if it's going to perhaps almost switch to almost a back three in some cases, with right back tucking inside. All right, enough of that. How about something much better? How about some quick hits?
Let's go, Gab.
Manchester City take on Lyon on Saturday. Jules, they're huge underdogs. Help out Uncle Rudy. What's the game plan?
Well, start watching the games from last season, where Lyon, under another manager, Bruno Genesio, beat City and drew with them as well in the group stages. They had a perfect game plan where they sit deep, but not too deep, and took advantage of every single mistake from Fernandinho or whoever was playing for Manchester City that night, and were very, very clinical and very efficient. You can't do that every single time against City, but at least try to defend well, be well organised with the back five, and then try to pounce on every little mistake there and there.
They did it before, they might do it again.
Plenty of reports out there that David Silva has signed a three-year deal with Lazio and will leave Manchester City on a free transfer this summer. Smart move, Gab?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really interesting. I mean, look, I think fitness-wise, he's obviously not what he was, but with his passing and get around the pitch, what I think is more interesting or just as interesting about this, and he gets Champions League football and not, is what are the implications for players leaving? Like, for example, Luis Alberto or Milinkovic-Savic. And is this a cover situation? Yeah, nice one, Lazio. It's official. Blaise Matuidi is off to Inter Miami. Jules, what does he have left in the tank?
Still a lot. I mean, he's 33, but the guy's he's an athlete. It's crazy. He will run and run and run again. And I think that's why he will offer to Inter Miami. Don't expect him to do 70 yards diagonals, incredible ball through. He can play football, but technically he's not as gifted as other players. But if you want a leader, if you want someone who will recover the ball, who will run everywhere, also someone with a lot of experience, I think he's the right guy for you. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I think he's very excited, I was told. He knows Miami really well from going on holidays. Now he will live there with his wife and the three children, and it's good for him, I think. And Didier Deschamps has also reassured him on his place with the national team. So it's all good.
Yeah, World Cup winner, maybe not highlight reel, but useful guy to have around.
Definitely. Atletico Madrid face RB Leipzig this evening on Thursday night without Correa and Vasako, who tested positive for COVID-19. And they're sweating on test results, which should come in 6 hours before kickoff. Gab, it's not an ideal way to prepare the game, right?
No, it's not ideal, but this is the pandemic era. This is the world we live in. By the time you listen to this, it'll be resolved one way or another, but I just hope this doesn't happen again throughout this competition. Sevilla and Manchester United both needed late goals to knock out Wolves and Copenhagen, respectively. They face each other on Sunday. What did you learn and who you got?
I think it's an amazing tie, really, as a semi-final. With so much the United facing Copenhagen goalkeeper Johnson on the game of his life, really. He made 14 saves or 13 saves. It was incredible. It's a game that United should have won far more easily than that penalty in extra time. But I still think that United will go from strength to strength from there. And Sevilla, I thought they were just so good with possession. I mean, Eva Banega is an incredible football player. And Lucas Ocampos continue having his this wonderful season. I still think United are a slight favourite. You might disagree, but I think the style are very different. I think it would be a great opposition. I'm just going for United on this one.
Yeah, I think they need United. You go United if they can, I think, kick it up several notches from their performance against Copenhagen and better prepared too.
And in the other semi-final, Gab, Inter will face Shakhtar Donetsk. Alexis Sanchez is out for the Italians, and Shakhtar looked pretty impressive against Basel.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'll have another show before this game's actually played, but Alexis Sanchez going out is a big loss. Yeah. A lot of pressure on Lautaro and Lukaku at this stage. And I think we all underrated Shakhtar, sorry, not for the first time. Borussia Dortmund sporting director Michael Zorc says Sancho is definitely staying. Sancho himself hasn't quite gone that far. Jules, still hope for United?
Of course, Gab. I mean, the transfer window is open until October the 5th. We know that Sancho wants to go to United, that he wants to come back home to England. We also know that Dortmund will sell if the price is right. So Zorc can say whatever he wants. Sancho can say whatever he wants. Yeah, there will be more talks, more negotiations. And I still expect this one to go through. I think it's in United's interest. I think it's in Sancho's interest as well. And Dortmund, if the money is there, they will take it.
You're hopeful.
Yeah, I am hopeful. Are you hopeful?
Meh.
Nah, you should be hopeful. Reports say that Jorge Mendes is quietly gouging interest in Cristiano Ronaldo from other clubs. Gab, does this mean he could leave Juventus, really, this summer?
No, it means that he's doing his job. The guy's entering the last 2 years of his contract. He may be old, but he's very productive, and so he's doing what an agent does. What else could there be on the table? Can I dangle something about a contract extension, which would be crazy? But then again, Cristiano Ronaldo's whole career has been crazy and illogical. Yeah. Nobody's supposed to be that good for so long. So I wouldn't read too much into it. It's certainly not a case of Juventus looking to get rid of him. But equally, if somebody decides that they want to pay stupid amounts of money for him and give him a longer-term contract, I think it's something Juventus might consider.
You know where Jorge Mendes is right now?
Where is he?
In Lisbon. And there's a few clubs in Lisbon with their sporting directors, their owner, their chairman. So I think he'll have a few meetings there in Lisbon.
Intriguing. Mesut Ozil, in a wide-ranging interview with The Athletic, says he's definitely staying and explains his reasons not to take a pay cut. Jules, do you get where he's coming from?
Yeah, I do, Gab. I do. The issue I have is, why would you want to stay in a club where you might not play at all?
Why does Gareth Bale stay at Real Madrid?
Exactly. I don't know why. If you could leave and go somewhere else where you could play and enjoy your football and maybe be in a better environment, I don't know. Why would you want to?
I think he just wants to stay in London. I don't think it's some money. He's got a year left. I mean, he could probably get a multi-year deal and get that same money and spread out. I think he's settled. He's got a million business interests elsewhere. He started a whole bunch of games under Arteta before the lockdown. Didn't play afterwards.
Yeah, but they played better without him after the lockdown than they did before.
Maybe he's convinced himself that the reason he didn't play afterwards was because he refused to take a pay cut.
I'm not sure about that. I just, I don't know. I find it strange that players like him, or same with Gareth Bale, you know, want to stick at a club where they might not be playing. That's all. It's a strange one. Marca are reporting that Zinedine Zidane has been told Real Madrid will make no new signings this summer. Does that make sense to you, Gab?
It makes sense to me that they would tell Zinedine Zidane that. But of course, when facts change, opinions change, right? So I think they're still going to try to find a home for James and for Gareth Bale. And if they do, you know, they'll generate some cash, free up some salary space, and they might make a move if they find the right guy. Reguilón as well, I think, is somebody who's going to go. Possibly Odriozola. So I think it's a changeable thing. But clearly, I think the message from them is saying, like, let's stay in a holding pattern. We got a lot of talent. Let's try to consolidate that for next season. Valencia say adios to half their midfield as Frances Coquelin and Dani Parejo move to Villarreal, the latter on a free transfer. I guess Peter Lim is looking to win more popularity contests.
Incredible. What a mess. What a mess Valencia are in. I mean, to let Coquelin go, I mean, to let Parejo go on a free is quite incredible. To have already lost Ferran Torres to City with just 1 year left on his contract, so you had to sell him on a bargain, and Coquelin for just 10 million or something. It's just, I mean, they're ruining this club. I don't know what Peter Lim is trying to do, but he's ruining his own club. I mean, surely that's not the idea when you own a club.
Absolutely horrendous.
Pierre-Emile Højbjerg has joined Spurs in exchange of Kyle Walker-Peters and around £3 million plus bonuses. Good deal for Mourinho.
Very good deal, because Kyle Walker-Peters wasn't going to play, and he got the big physical passing presence that he wants. A campaign to put up a statue to Jack Leslie outside Plymouth Argyle Stadium has reached its goal. Jules, why is this important?
It's very important, Gab, because Jack Leslie should have been the first black player to play for England back in the 1920s, beginning of 1930 as well. And when the England manager at the time realised that he was mixed race, decided not to call him up. And I think, especially in the current time and context, I think it's very important to pay tribute to Jack Leslie, who was a wonderful player and who was robbed, I think that's the word, from an England career for playing, representing his country just because of the colour of his skin, and that should have never happened. So well done to all the people who worked really hard, I think, to raise the funds and the money to be able to put a statue up outside Plymouth Argyle, because he was playing for Plymouth at the time.
Just want to be clear on this. So the manager didn't realise that he was mixed race, and once he found out, he said he didn't feel it was appropriate for him to represent England.
Yeah.
Pulling stuff. Well done to the people who raised the
cash. Benfica are the biggest movers and shakers in the transfer market so far. They've signed Gilberto from Fluminense, Pedrinho from Corinthians and Everton. Cavani and Vertonghen could be on their way too. Are you surprised, Gavin? Where's the money coming from?
I don't know. I mean, Gilberto, I think, is cheap and cheerful, but Pedrinho is a guy who I think they're spent, I think it's 20 million, something like that. He's a really promising guy. Everton, again, this deal not done yet, but you know, he was the top scorer in the Copa America, if I'm not mistaken. Then Vertonghen deal seems almost done. Apparently Vertonghen, who by the way is an absolute class act. I had the privilege of spending some time with him at Disney World a few years ago. We were there together on a stag trip. We were there because there was Spurs training camp, but I was there for ESPN and whatever. But absolute class act, absolute gentleman. He's there because he wants to learn a new language and prepare, whatever.
I love that.
Champions League football. Cavani, you tell me. I mean, do they need Cavani as well?
They need a goal. They need a goal scorer. They've got Carlos Vinicius up front.
Can you explain this? Because with the Cavani thing, in all the reporting all the time, every time Cavani gets mentioned, okay, I just want to make this very clear to our listeners who might not always understand how free transfers and the transfer market works, okay? So Cavani made a lot of money.
12 million net a year.
He made 12 million euros net a year, which, using my very quick mental converter, is a ton of money. If you think in pounds a week, you know, we're talking in the region of £400,000 a week, right? Okay, His contract with Paris Saint-Germain is finished, right?
Yeah.
Finito, right? Rien ne va plus.
Rien ne va plus. Fini.
Okay. So right now, how much money is he making from anybody?
Zero.
Zero. Okay?
Yeah.
So why do people say, oh, but they might struggle with his wages because he was making 12 million euros net? Who cares?
No, but if
it's over. He's making nothing.
He's making nothing.
If he wants to play for Benfica, he will play for what Benfica offer him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any leverage in this.
But no, but the ballpark is, this is what he was earning before.
Right, so the
he's not going to accept 2 million a year.
Okay. I'm going to have to go quote the guy from The Wire here, right?
Yeah.
The thing about the old days is, the old days. He's a free agent.
We
in the media and fans need to understand this.
True.
Just because you made a ton before doesn't mean that your next contract, if you're a free transfer, is going to have anything whatsoever to do with
it. You're right. But can they even afford 6 million a year? Can they afford 8 million a year? How much discount do they want him to sign for?
Give him 1 million a year and then goal bonuses.
Yeah, and you're not going to sign him.
Okay, fine. And then tell you what.
But they want to sign him, so they have to make the highest proposition possible, right?
This is the kind of thing that happens time and again and again. Hey, Cavani, love you, man. You look like Jesus without the beard. But time passes for everybody.
Okay.
You've only got a couple years left. If you think it's so important after the tens and tens and tens of millions that you earned at Paris Saint-Germain to go, then, you know, why don't you go to Donetsk, go to China? I don't care. Right?
But that's not, I don't think Edinson is disputing that. You know that if you pay 12 million, you're going to sign him. 10 might be enough. 8, maybe 6. This is like poker.
I know. Okay? I just don't think it's relevant how much money he was paying for.
No, of course. But still, I think it would be good for them. But again, he's 33 now. He's not the player as he was. So of course, you're not going to offer him 12 million. And there will be a big signing on fee as well. But I still think that he's worth the effort, whatever the effort
is. Yeah, he's worth the effort, but you do it at your price.
Yes, true. That's true.
Jules, I have Rennes manager upset everybody who lives near their stadium.
This is a great story, Gab. They were so happy on Tuesday because Sevilla, Inter Milan, Manchester United and Shakhtar being in the Europa League semi-final, it meant that Rennes are already straight through the group stage of the Champions League. They don't have to go through the qualifiers. So they celebrated a little party that went on through the night and they kept playing the Champions League anthem.
Socially distanced, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so. But the music was quite loud and the Champions League anthem annoyed a few people at 3 a.m. But hey, come on, it's a celebration. Come on, you're in the Champions League for the first time in your history. It's good.
All right.
Twitter has taken down and apologized for a post on their official account that made fun of Phil Jones. Right move, Gab, right?
Yeah, it was something like, you know, name a footballer who's worse than Phil Jones. And I had like a picture of him. And rightly, they took it down. Look, I mean, the guy's got his issues. Everybody's mocked him, but this is just stupid and mean-spirited and pulling United for traffic reasons. It was a stupid move, and I'm glad they took it down. Speaking of, we're going to be back on Monday.
Yes.
So please join us.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/gabjules.